Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Weisberg.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the School of Human Potential Radio. I'm Alan Weisberg, your host, and we have a very interesting show for you tonight. What we try to do, as many of you know, every week is to bring experts from all over the world in different disciplines in order to make you a better rounded individual. We know you're busy, so we bring them in. They share their wisdom and something that you can apply right away in your life. Today, we have two such guests. For the first segment, I'm inviting a friend of the family, one of the experts for our upcoming School of Human Potential, Gary Doyle. And once we get done with Gary on the second and third segment, we're going to be bringing on Renee Mullen-Masters to talk about how you are actually smarter than you think you are. I know people have told me the opposite, so I'm looking forward to finding out the truth and setting everybody straight. But let me begin by welcoming Gary to the program. Hi, Gary.
Hey, hi, Alan. I'm a little bit concerned about when you're going to get done with me. I mean, I hope it's not in the typical Chicago style.
What's the typical Chicago style?
That's the total elimination. I mean, you know, when those good Al Capone trainees get done with you, you're done.
That is true, but we have progressed since that time. When we're softer now. Just think of all of our sport teams, and you can see that elimination usually happens the other way around, unless you're the Blackhawks, who we're very proud of. In any case, so Gary, I know I wanted to bring you on, aside from the fact that I like you a lot, and you're a wonderful guy, and we've had a chance to speak before about what you do, your book, The Quest, Live with Purpose and Passion. But you're actually doing something very exciting. I'm not the only one who's launching things. You're launching something on your own, and actually a little before I did. What are you launching, Gary?
I'm launching a magazine. The magazine is called Ignite, and it's about igniting the light that lives inside all of us. So it'll be a magazine, and it'll extend really what I've wanted to do for a long, long time. And really, it's on purpose with me to help as many people as possible find and fulfill their life's purpose and find the fulfillment and satisfaction that they're looking for in their life. And so it's a very, very exciting time, very busy time, as you well know about any launch. But but the enthusiasm runs high, and we're really, really close. We will be August 1st is our target, and at this point, I think we'll make it. The magazine, I get. Maybe I'll just tell you a little bit. The magazine is based upon my belief that that to move forward in our lives, we need to address the totality of who we are, as a unit, as opposed to one thing at a time. So we're focused on wellness for the mind, body, soul, and spirit. And if you think about it just for a bit, it's very, very hard, for instance, to get in shape if you can't get the mental motivation and get your mind into it and find the discipline to do what needs to be done to get in shape and stay in shape. And on the flip side of that, you can't have a sharp mind, one that has the strength that you need to push you forward, unless your body is nourished properly and unless it has the right amount of fitness. And in the same way, without finding your spirituality, your mind and your body are really missing a motivation that comes from within that keeps you moving in that direction. So that's really our premise, and that's where we're headed.
And you obviously know that you and I are aligned, and I love those concepts. We're all about being well-rounded. A person, in order to be a well-rounded individual, has to have the combination of mind, body, and spirit. And you cannot just leave one unattended, as we tend to do, myself included, but not for the last 3.5 weeks. I haven't missed a workout. I've been meditating. I've been doing what I need to do. Knock on wood. Hopefully that continues. And you know, we have to do it. Otherwise, there is no way to keep ourselves straight. We're so busy, we're so stressed out by everything and anything that's thrown at us, that really it takes dedication and effort in order to be on that path. But once you are, and you're staying on it, all sorts of doors open up that you've never dreamt possible.
Absolutely true. I must admit to you that I skipped my workout today, and I feel it. You can just feel it when you do, because your mind gets sluggish, and you really have a tendency to slow down entirely as an individual, and you get lazy when you don't do it, and your mind gets lazy, your body gets lazy, and you begin to retrench so almost immediately. So, yeah,
You know what you're going to be doing right after this, the radio interview, right, Garrett? You're going to go and have that workout?
To be honest with you, I am. I've already planned what I'm going to do. So
there you go.
I need to do that before dinner time. You know,
we are in alignment. And you, actually, speaking of the workouts, I find that, you know, we're coming back from work. We're very tired. The thing that we want to do is just relax. You know, veg out for a little while, get back into the groove, eat something. And then you eat and you're thinking, well, I can't work out right after I eat, and that's not good for me. And then some more time passes, or, well, it's a little late, maybe I'll try tomorrow. Don't do that. So for me personally, what I tend to do is, you know, today I was teaching a class. I'm teaching all of this week. As soon as I end the class, I am going to the gym. And I went to the gym, I worked out, came back, ate, and now I'm good to go. So really get into those good habits. Otherwise, you'll just excuse yourself to death.
We, in an attempt to really help in that regard, we've segmented our magazine, and to make it really fit with the Ignite name, we're focused on segments like Inspire, which is about inspirational stories of people, those who have faced extreme difficulties, and really just the common person as well, but stories that will inspire people to, if they can do it, I can do it as well. And another segment is on growth, which is about personal development, and in that regard, we talk about ways to move yourself forward in a variety of different aspects. How do you address fear? How do you find the courage that you need to move forward. The third segment that we have in the magazine is Nourish, and that's in the broader sense about food in its entirety. We want to talk about, you know, current trends in food and what's all the rage, and what people are interested in understanding maybe a little bit more about the impacts on their bodies. And then we do some recipes as well that fit into, you know, what's healthy, what's really refreshing, what's good and still healthy. And we take it from there into Inner Self, and in Inner Self we're pretty broadly based. We will talk about yoga, we'll talk about meditation, we'll talk about Eastern religions, we'll talk about how to find your own spirituality, maybe in a more Western way. And then we have a travel segment, travel that relates to all of the other segments. So places to go where you'll feel inspired, places to go that'll help you find your own inner self and spirituality. So that's the kind of travel. So it won't be just a general travel kind of thing. And then we talk about Energize, and that's the bulk of that will be about fitness, not in a bodybuilding sense or six-pack ab sense, but for the average person, I suspect, that just wants to stay fit and ways that you can do that. So those are the segments of the magazine. And we interestingly enough, as we've developed, we came to this thought about a kid's corner. Simply put, that families involved in all of the aspects and segments of the magazine are something that we would really encourage. And so we added a kids' corner that really addresses things that people might do with their kids to pursue the fitness and nourish properly and find their inner self and so forth. So we expanded a bit from where we originally started, but it's pretty exciting to and fun to have something like that in the magazine.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm on your website right now. It looks great. And the website, by the way, for everybody is ignite-magazine.com. We have that on our page. Please check it out. And for those that want to subscribe or contribute, how would they go about doing that, Gary?
Well, there are subscription blocks, obviously, on the website. And there's also available on the website a free trial issue, which I'd encourage anyone to get, simply from the standpoint that you'll be able to see what we'll be about over our lifetime. And there's also a free book of 118 quotes, and it's not just quotes written, it's quotes on phenomenally good-looking posters and some things that would really motivate and inspire people. And in terms of contributing, there is a contributors segment that's under the home button, actually, that'll tell you about the contributors to our magazine. But at the bottom, it gives you, a contact for us. But to simplify that, it's simply editor@ignite-magazine.com. And that'll come directly to me. So I encourage anybody who wants to contribute, who's got something to contribute, to send me a note.
Perfect. And I'm certainly planning on doing that because I love the idea, and I really I'm glad that you're launching this, Gary. You keep amazing me with the things that you're doing and trying to assist people in becoming healthier in mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Alan. I appreciate it. I would say to you, you mentioned the School of Human Potential earlier, and obviously we're on School of Human Potential Radio, but you're doing something similar in the sense that the courses that will be offered cover a really broad perspective of the mind, body, spirit, and soul. So, I think that in some respects, we're similar in that approach.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, in different ways. I would tell everyone that this is a digital publication, not print, and it is in fact produced as a flip magazine, so it opens and you turn pages similar to what you would do with a print magazine. And you'll find some interactivity inside the magazine, some videos, some audio. Eventually, we don't have in there right now, in the trial edition, and then the ability to comment and email back to us and so forth is also available. So it's a bit unique from the digital magazine perspective.
Perfect. Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Looking forward to launching it. August 1st is my wife's and my brother's and my cousin's birthday, so it's a really good date for you.
Wow. Hey, celebrate.
Plenty to celebrate. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Gary. Thanks for jumping on. Really appreciate it, and best of luck to you with your endeavor.
Hey, great, Alan. Thanks, and thanks for everybody for listening. Bye for now.
Thank you. And definitely, everybody, check out the magazine. Looking forward to its launch. And stay with us. We'll be right back with Renee.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wish Flower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wish Flower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
If you need help getting free from your past in order to clearly see the present so you can set your course and live your essence, I've got great news for you. Radio talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, and life purpose coach Alan Vaisberg is waiting to help you recalibrate your life. At recalibrateyourlife.com, you'll find the 5 simple steps Alan will lead you through to help you reach the place in life that has been eluding you. Restore, renew, and recalibrate today at recalibrateyourlife.com.
And welcome back to the School of Human Potential Radio. I'm Alan Vaisberg, your host. Thanks again to Gary Doyle for jumping on and telling us about his new publication that he's launching August 1st on my wife's birthday, I may add. And that's Ignite Magazine. Please check it out. And right now we have our featured guest, Renee Mullen, who is going to talk to us about You Are Smarter Than You Think, a program that she has developed that's been very successful over the past 25 years, if I'm not mistaken, in helping people realize that they learn differently, that their brains are wired differently, and how to take advantage of it for any learning situation. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you very much. And my full last name is Renee Mullen Masters, but that's okay. Well,
thank you very much. Renee Mullen Masters. Yep.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the program. How did you start? How did you come about it? And what led you to begin it?
Well, my experience in school was kind of schizophrenic. One time I would be terrible, the next moment I would be bright, and on and on and on all the way through. And so after I graduated from school with a master's in speech pathology, I was reading Dr. Howard Gardner's work, and as I was reading his book, Frames of Mind, all these little neuro connectors happened, and I suddenly realized why I had struggled so much in school. And what he was talking about is that everybody learns differently, and everybody has a brain that needs different things. So I began lecturing to students, and I happened to be in a position where I could do that. And we put together a program, and it made a huge difference with a bunch of students, and then nursing got a hold of it. And nursing students were failing. 80% of them were dropping out. We were needing nurses. It was a tough situation in the 90s. And schools got a hold of my program, and their retention rates went from 20% up to 80% in one semester because the students all of a sudden knew how to learn and how to use their brain correctly.
Wow, that's tremendous results, and I'm very happy that you saved nursing for us. We appreciate that.
Yeah, me too.
So what I know you said that the retention rates are tremendous. Can you tell us a little more of these success stories of somebody who's gone through the program?
Well, this is, there's two stories that come up for me. One is the first day that I started talking to students about this, there was a student in the classroom that was in anatomy and physiology, and she had a test coming up. Mm-hmm. And I had suggested that she do some things. She played the piano without thinking, and she put all the stuff she had to learn on an audio tape. And she went through that audio tape one time while she played the piano without thinking. And then she had her mom test her on the material, and she knew it cold. And the next day, she took the test, and she knew it cold again. She got the highest grade in the class. And I was walking across the campus, and she grabbed me from behind. I thought I was being attacked, and she said, "It works!" So it was really exciting. And I just heard from an instructor on the East Coast that is now retired, and she was walking down the street, and a nursing student, one of her former students, came up to her and said, "Oh, it's so good to see you, and I just want to thank you so much for teaching me the You're Smarter Than You Think program, because it has saved me as a nurse." And I thought, of all things she could thank her for, that's what she thanked her for, and that really touched me. And wow. I have other stories.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so everybody's brain is, again, I was reading a little bit about your program. So you're saying that everybody's brain is learning differently. For this particular girl that you were describing, she's playing the piano, so she's not actively trying to learn. It's more of a organic learning. I don't know if it's going into the subconscious or what, but she's getting it. So how do we know what type of brain learning you are wired for?
Well, you can take, in my program, there's two self-evaluations that we give people, and one of them is, the first one is based on Dr. Gardner's research that's detailed in the book Frames of Mind. But just to give you some ideas, we look at whether a person is linguistic, logical, spatial, body kinesthetic, musical, talented in knowing self, talented in knowing others, linguistically, auditory, visual, or combination. Those are the areas that we look at. And just to give you a kind of an idea of what that looks like, usually, if I go through it, a linguistic person loves words. A logical person absolutely has to have some sequential presentation of the material. A spatial person needs simplicity and color and drawing. A musical person needs music, not words, but the music, the rhythm, the sound. A body kinesthetic person needs body movement. They can't learn in sitting at a desk. People that are talented in self, they have a sense of what they want to eat, what they want to wear. Even when they're little kids, they just have a deep sense of that. And they are what we call an experiential learner. And then people that are talented in knowing others are people that have a great insight into other people. They can tell whether somebody's telling the truth or not, that kind of thing. And they also are experiential learners, but in a totally different way. And then the other piece that we look at is, how do you process language? And it's different than the typical auditory visual test. We look at we found out that people have a preference for how they encode language. Some people want to hear it, some people want to read it, and some people want to hear it and read it. And it's a genetic thing. You get it from your parents. And I've seen this in all these workshops that I've done with parents and twins. And you can see it's a genetic thing. You get it that way. And it has to do with language, not anything else. It doesn't have to do with being able to see, an accident across the street and be able to describe it. That's not language. Language is the processing of words.
That's very, very interesting, because everybody does learn differently. I'm kind of going through a Rolodex in my mind of the different people in my life and how they learn. I'm going back to my experiences in school, and I was always the person that was getting everything very quickly and then getting bored, not doing homework. If I was interested in a subject, I would get straight A's. If I was not, I would get F's. So I was that type of a student. I was not somebody that would just sit there and do homework. I really had to be interested in it. So it's fascinating. So then, have you worked with the schools and you saw that they're actually open-minded enough to have these different programs and test how their students are perceiving the information and then adjust to them?
Well, unfortunately, the nursing programs have been very open. There is an openness. I have to say that when I find a teacher that's had the similar kind of experience that I've had, where their school their education was kind of schizophrenic, they relate to it and they grab it. But generally speaking, there is in schools there is a commitment to memorization. There's not an interest in learning. It's like we've lost that. Somewhere down the line, we lost it. And until that shifts, Students are not going to achieve any higher than what is expected of them. And if a teacher has an expectation level of memorization is good enough, that's what they're going to do.
That's
just
true.
The way it works.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's interesting, as again, going through the different education systems. I've come from another country, so the way that the former Soviet Union was handling the the schooling and the way that the United States is handling are different. When we were thinking of where to send our children for schools, we were looking at public schools, we were looking at Waldorf, we were looking at Montessori, we're looking at those philosophies and trying to decide. What has been your experience and your opinion? I'm not sure if you're familiar with Waldorf or Montessori, but if you are, I'd love to know what you think.
Yeah, I love them.
You love them. Good.
You know, I wish they weren't so darn expensive. But yeah. If I had been a kid in elementary school and I was in either Waldorf or Montessori, I don't care which one, I would have thrived. I would have been head of the class. I would have felt wonderfully about myself. What happens and what is tragic is that there are two-thirds of the population when they're in the regular public school, because it focuses on linguistic and logical abilities, they don't fit, and they are feeling like a stranger in a strange land all through school, and they begin to feel like, oh, I just don't have what it takes. Whereas in Montessori and Waldorf, what they do is that before you're 5 years old, you learn massive amounts of information. You just, you're like it's amazing what you learn how to do, especially learning language. And you learn it easily. It just happens. And it happens because you are allowed to gravitate towards what you love. And what you and you're allowed to use your brain correctly. But then when you get stuck into school where they're emphasizing linguistic logical ideas, for two-thirds of the population, it just doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. But in Montessori and Waldorf, they don't stop what happened before 5 years old. They allow the kid to discover using their brain correctly. The only thing that I would change is that when the kid gets to high school, you help them to discover, okay, now, this is how your brain functions, and this is how you can take this information and change it so it works for you when you're in college or high school where it's not as play-oriented. And that's all I would change. But if I had, kids that were in school age, I would find a way to put them in one of those other schools. But they are really expensive, I must admit.
Based on our research, I think in Germany and in a lot of European countries, most of the people are going to Waldorf-type schools. So it's definitely working. It's not a fad. It's a system that works for many countries.
If you look at the chart on the educational how they rank education in different countries, the United mm-hmm. States is in the bottom third. So you can tell. That says a lot.
That does, unfortunately, but. The wonderful thing about the United States, and not to be speaking on its behalf, but what I've noticed as an outsider when I came in is it's so open from the perspective that you have your program, your kids are not doing well in school. Here are a variety of other programs that can help them that are very open-minded, and they want to work with the individual because our society is based on a capitalist structure. There are so many different businesses that tap into that and that allow people to get out from what doesn't work for them and get into what works, which is wonderful.
Really true. And this would never have been created in another kind of society, for sure.
That's true.
It came out of the capitalistic idea, and solving a problem.
Yeah. So the question then is, how do we you know, as adults, because most of our listeners are adults, and for our kids, we can change that. But how do we, as adults, actually get out of our own programming and open up to see what is actually working for us and how to utilize it? As an educator myself, and I've been, you know, teaching adult education on the information technology side, being the teacher of programming languages and others, I've created a different methodology. And I've created a methodology that was more experiential, that was not based in me telling them how to do things, but rather asking them to discover it on their own. And for the most part, you find lots of people very hesitant to that. They want their step-by-step instructions. They don't want to try anything new. They are conditioned that this is the only way that works for me. How do you break through that barrier?
Well, I think you have to, this is a question I think we should start asking each other.
Right.
And the question is, do you know how to learn? It's a question nobody ever asks anybody. And if you ask a high school person or even a college person, do you know how to learn, they'll say yes. But then if you ask them, how long did you remember the information after the test was over, and they'll tell you, oh, we don't remember it long after the test at all. College and high school are about short-term learning. And so people don't understand how to use their brains. They don't understand this computer on top of their head. They're walking through life hit and miss, and most of them don't even know the difference between learning and memorizing. And it's huge. It's a huge difference. When you learn something, it actually it associates. They found that it literally makes neural pathways. It associates with everything you know about that subject matter so that you can think outside the box. You can begin putting abstract ideas together. You can come up with something that nobody else has thought about. But when you memorize, it goes into a short-term holding pin. It doesn't get associated. All you can do is repeat it back in a rote fashion, and it stays there for a very short period of time.
Very true. And everybody can think of, well, you knew your phone number while you were using it, or you had a friend whose phone number you remembered. You're not friends anymore. Do you remember their phone number? No. It's not
exactly
something
and
that you associate.
Remember,
you throw it out.
Yeah, when you were a kid and you counted 1 to 100 and somebody asked you, was 50 greater or smaller than 6, you couldn't tell them. All you could do is repeat back from 1 to 100.
That's very true. All right. I would love to continue this discussion. I have more questions for you. So everybody, please stay with us. We'll be right back. Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg with Recalibrate Your Life, and I help people like you find their soul purpose, align with it, and gain the balance that you seek. But don't take my word for it. Take my clients.
Alan, what can I say but wow? I've always had so many questions on whether I'm on the right path, am I fulfilling my life's mission? These are questions that I assume have been pondered by everyone since the beginning of time. However, the gift that you possess has helped me immensely. It confirmed my need to be artistic, my need to help others so much. I can't even explain the experience. It confirms so much more than I can describe in this small note of appreciation. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, allowing me to release my inner thoughts, and most importantly, or confirming and leading me to what I always believed but was not confident enough to believe in. Thank you. Trust me, this was hard for me to do, but I do know that God has blessed us with various gifts, and you have an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You, like all of my clients, deserve to live in alignment with your soul purpose. To begin your journey, visit recalibrateyourlife.com or call 800-323-1619. And don't hesitate. Recalibrate.
Welcome back to the School of Human Potential Radio, where we're discussing why we're actually smarter than we think. So, Renee, that is a lovely name for your program. You are smarter than you think. I think I'm pretty smart already. How do I know if I'm smarter than that?
Well, just think about times when you walk into walls, or mm-hmm. when you can't figure something out, or you had a piece of information that went through your brain and it just went in and went out, or when you feel overwhelmed. These are like little signals that say, you're not using your brain correctly.
That's very true, and I've certainly had all of those experiences. Perfect. So how can people become smarter, or actually, how do they start utilizing their brains? And I know that they can go to your program. You have your book out, which is in its third edition. You have an online program. I believe it's called The Journey. Please correct me if I'm wrong. So that's wonderful. And actually, speaking of that, where can they go? Where can they find out this information?
They can go to my website, which is youaresmarterthanyouthink.com. And I want to just put a plug in there. Mm-hmm. My book now has a companion online training that goes with us. This is the new 21st century way that books will be coming to people. And I'm very excited to be one of the first to offer it.
Perfect. And it'll be a nice test for you, because if people can actually spell everything and write out the whole name, then they should be in the program, because they are smarter than they think.
Yeah.
So how would a parent know whether this type of a program would be appropriate for their kids?
Well, it's first of all, it needs to be with a student that is old enough to really take responsibility for this information. Because
so we're thinking somewhere in the 40s or 50s?
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But usually, junior high and up.
Okay.
Before that, they're not quite there yet.
Right.
So, but the older, the better.
Okay, makes sense. So there's some age. And then are there certain trends that the parents are noticing in terms of the way that their student is learning, or the lack of learning, that would make them think that this would be a good program?
I think that a really interesting question. I really would love to put the word out to parents to start asking your children, do you know how to learn? Just ask them and see what they say, because their answer will surprise you, because they'll probably look at you like you're from outer space.
Right.
And that can begin the conversation to really discover what these kids are doing. And I would put money on, there's very few kids out there that are learning. Because of the way we're teaching, they're going after the grade on the test, and they're doing it by memorizing.
Yeah, it's all cramming. We've all done that.
Yep.
Take GPS, right? If you're following GPS, are you going to be able to get back to where you need to go without the GPS's help?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. And that's because you're not learning it. All you're doing is following directions.
Exactly.
And, very
exactly.
true. Very interesting.
That's a very good example.
It's one of the examples that I use, again, in my program. I've discovered that the best way to learn is to teach. And the second best way to learn is to discover things on your own and work in a group of people together. So instead of me telling people how to do certain things, I say, here's a problem, figure out a way to fix it. And it takes some people aback because they're not used to it. But some people really, thrive in that environment. And for others, we have the step-by-steps and we hold their hands. But that's the way that I like, because for me, I am an experiential learner. I found that about myself. I really enjoy tinkering. I don't want to read a book. I want to figure it out on my own, which could be, very troublesome at times. And my wife certainly doesn't like that particular trait. But that's the way that that I learn. I want to discover things on my own. So I try to bring that to the classroom as well.
And I think that that's really good that you know that about yourself. But you know what? The thing to understand is that for some people, that doesn't work for them at all.
Right.
And it makes them uncomfortable. And I think what's really important here is to talk about the fact that we are all different. And, I got a great story. I was leading a workshop with a bunch of teachers, and all of a sudden, these two teachers started to laugh. And I had to stop and find out what was going on. And they said, "You won't believe it. We found out that teacher A is linguistic and teacher B is spatial." And she said, "We team teach, and every summer we take turns putting together what we're going to be teaching the next semester." And teacher A said, "Oh my gosh, when teacher B brings in her charts and her graphs and her colors," she says, "I would just go, I would go crazy because I couldn't follow it." And then the other one said, "Yeah, and when she brought in her linear lists and her outline," she said, "I was so bored. I thought, oh, gosh, what is going on here?" And they had hated each other because they thought because the other one they thought was crazy. And
right.
Then all of a sudden in the workshop they realized, oh, my gosh. This is what was really going on, that they were just different. And now that they understood their differences, they could begin to work together.
Yeah, it's there is a book by a wonderful author whose name escapes me at the moment. I know it's Gary. And it's a book of 5 love languages. So you're talking about the brain languages. And until you discover who you are and until you discover, how you function, it would be difficult to assimilate information, not just cram information for the sake of cramming it for the testing. And you brought up a point, talking about me and the way that I bring the experiential learning into my classroom. That would likely explain a lot of the teachers that teach the way that they're comfortable with, regardless of what works for their students or not. And I'm not sure if they talk about that in the education system when the teachers are being brought up, not to teach to your strengths, but to teach to the strengths of the students in your classroom.
But let me tell you about an experience I had. I thought, after reading Dr. Gardner's work, that if I just taught and covered all of those styles, and I was teaching a college success class, that it would work, but it didn't work. It didn't work. When I did it with them, only 2 students out of 30 students were able to give me back the information that I had gone through, which was 5 steps, really easy stuff. So what I realized is that, it's okay for a teacher to teach how they learn best. That's fine. That's great. That probably will allow the teacher to be inspiring. But what has to happen is that the students, if they understand how they learn, then they can transform anything that's coming at them into something that works for them. So like in your classes, you may be saying, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is the experiential way. If somebody really understood how their brain worked, they would say, wait a minute, I don't learn that way. I want to do this over here like this. And if they knew what it was, I'm sure you would go along with it no problem.
Right. Yeah, that would not be an issue. And by the way, the name of the five love languages author is Gary Chapman. Love you, Gary. Love your book. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And we've had Gary. I know that. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had Gary on, and he's a wonderful person. So in terms of applying and utilizing, once you know what your brain talent is, in terms of applying that information to any situation, can you give us an example of that? Because I'm not sure if they're learning through music, being in a classroom and learning through music and turning it on would be a great idea. So how would they apply that?
Well, let's do something besides music, because the music would be done when they're at home studying. But let's say they're in a classroom and they're logical, and the instructor is linguistic. And this linguistic instructor is going all over the place. Linguistic people love to tell stories, and they're over here one moment, and they're over on the next thing the next moment, and they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. For the logical learner, this drives them nuts. They can't follow it. So what we suggest that they do is they figure out what the main headings are, and they can either create an outline or have different pieces of paper. And when the instructor all of a sudden gets back to the main heading, they can take notes on what that person is talking about. And then when they go off on this story, they don't have to worry about it. They kind of know what's going on, and it keeps them so that they're not lost. Kind of like creating a map as they go. And that's the way you transform a linguistic lecture into a logical lecture if you happen to be a logical learner.
That's perfect. And that actually makes sense, and it's something that everybody can do. So, mm-hmm. And as you're saying this, I'm thinking, I am definitely linguistic. I am definitely experiential. I definitely need to take that quiz and figure out who I definitely am, because I seem to be a number of things.
Yeah, you are. You are a number of things. You're not just one thing, and you're strong in some areas and sort of strong in other areas and weak in other areas. And we tell you, forget your weaknesses. But if you want to talk about the music thing, what we recommend is that when a student is studying, if they're musically talented, then when they're studying, they either need to play an instrument, listen to instrumental music, do a rhythm, a tap on their leg or on something, you know, the desk or whatever. And what that does is it stimulates the music part of the brain, and it causes that information to go flying right back into long-term memory. That's what's cool about it. When you use your brain correctly, you hardly have to work to get it in. It just goes in.
Perfect. So, you know, the big question is, how would you change the schools to accommodate all these different learning methods?
Well, that's been the bugaboo, because they're looking at it from the wrong perspective. I think the first thing that has to happen is that somewhere an administrator has to stand up and say, okay, guys, we are going to now expect from our students real learning, and we are going to give them tests that test to see whether they've actually learned it instead of memorizing it. And teachers need to have a higher level of expectation, because there have been numerous studies that have showed that as a teacher's level of expectation rises, the student's performance also rises. But if you're going to do that, then you have to help the student learn how to learn. They don't know how to do it. They have forgotten how to do it. So what we have to do is help them learn how to learn so that they can be successful within that new belief system, that new formula. And if we did that, our school system would skyrocket, because it would accommodate everybody. And right now it doesn't. It accommodates probably one-third of the population. And the rest of us have spent most of our lives feeling rather, there's just this little voice inside that says, oh, you're not as smart as you think you are. You're not very smart. even though we may have gotten through college, it's just sort of sitting back there.
Yeah, and we've even have a vocabulary for it, right? There are some people who are book smart. There are some people who are street smart. We've tried to weave that in instead of actually solving the problem.
Yes, exactly.
So,
and you know, some people, there's a real arrogance sometimes with people who think that if you're linguistic and logically talented, that you are smarter, much smarter than the person that is spatially inclined, where they can draw and make and do art. There's a disconnect here, whereas those people are just as smart. And as a matter of fact, I had a student who was flunking everything. She was the most incredible artist, and her notes are in my book and on my online training. And what I taught her, I said, look, take that art and start creating your maps when you take notes using your art. And she just went crazy with it. And within a week, she went from a DNF student to an A and B student just by learning how to use her art to bridge that gap between the linguistic, logical stuff that was coming at her.
That's amazing. And thank you for doing that. My heart is singing as you're saying that. I love that. But I think one of the reasons, just to come back to what you were mentioning, one of the reasons why society is in such a state in terms of learning is because we're still all competition-based, right? How well did you do on this test? Am I better than you on this? You know, people are not really trying to get everybody into it and figure out how we learn, because we're all about competition.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I would change is change that, because life is not a competition.
Yes, I think, amen, that is true. That is really great, where we're all, you know, discovering this together. And you know, the job of the instructor is to inspire, you know, inspire, not teach, inspire. They've got it all wrong, because that's when wonderful things can happen.
But sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay.
A lot of the instruction is focusing on the how. You know, what do you need to do? What do you need to learn? You know, what is important for you to memorize in order to pass this test, instead of focusing on the why.
Yes.
And if people focus on the why, they become interested in it. Then when they become interested, they're going to figure out whatever is the best way for them to learn. I remember the best classes that I've been in, you know, were my history professor in high school. He was mesmerizing. He was talking about history. I was in love. I was reading books. I was inspired because I was interested in the topic. And I was interested not just in the topic. I was interested because the teacher was inspiring. And he wasn't asking people to memorize. He was, you know, breathtakingly telling these stories about wonderful events that have happened in the past. So they were inspiring learning, not inspiring memorization.
Exactly. And when I was in high school, I had a French teacher that was just like that. She was only a few years older than us. And she challenged the daylights out of us. And because I didn't know how to use my brain correctly, and I wasn't linguistic, I didn't get the grade that I really wanted to get. I worked my tail off, and I got a C. But I so wanted to get a higher grade, but I couldn't, because I didn't know how to transform all that linguistic stuff into something that would allow me to get the A. But brother, was I inspired. I was absolutely inspired. I love that teacher.
It's really all about teachers. Another example is in high school, I had a teacher, and I don't remember exactly which class it was, because we were learning lots of things there. But I wasn't a very good student, and my attendance was not great. But on one of the assignments, we were supposed to write on a tombstone for, I think, Adam Morrison, if I'm not mistaken, a name from the band that died. And for some reason, I really hooked into him and understood him, and I wrote a very inspiring, poetic kind of eulogy. He read that paper. He gave me an A. He said, "You're done for the class." You wow. got what I was trying to teach you. So wow. that was the teacher who was open-minded and understood how I was learning, and yes. You know, was able to facilitate that. So
yes, let's, that's so great. What a great story.
Yeah, let's inspire the teachers. And for all of us or all of the people who are listening to us right now, how do you want to encourage them to learn about their intelligence?
Well, the first step that I want to say to them is that realize that we all learn differently. We all learn differently, and all of us are incredibly intelligent. And to trust that, and to begin to discover what that means. And if you're so inclined, go over to my website and sign up for the online program and figure out how your brain functions. And if you don't want to use mine, there's others out there. But I think mine's the best. But but that's okay, you know.
And and speaking of gifts, sorry for interrupting because we're about to wrap up, but okay. Speaking of gifts, and you've been sharing your wisdom with us, you've mentioned to me that there are a few gifts that you'd like to give to our listeners.
Absolutely. And on Friday, there mm-hmm. will be two free downloads on my website, which is youaresmarterthanyouthink.com. And those two free downloads, the first one is has to do with the mistakes that no parent wants to make if they're sending their child off to college. And the second one is walking this world not knowing your brain talent is disastrous. And they're two free downloads. You can download both of them or one of them or whatever, and if it hits you, and enjoy. My gift to you.
Thank you very much. Well, Renee, you're a breath of fresh air. I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about the different ways in which we learn and letting us know that we are really smart and we should be taking advantage of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week with more experts to help you be a well-rounded individual. Thank you. Good night. God bless.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.